This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting from Financial Beast Plaza on the Libertarian Re-Education Center's low orbit ion cannon on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. We're keeping a sin flood of statism out of your brain by bombarding your frontal lobe and warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. Can you feel it, Davi? Can you feel it? Is it working?
I can, yeah, absolutely. I wonder if you can get a prescription for medical marijuana for Liberty Chemotherapy.
Liberty Chemotherapy. I don't know, but I have a thing in my show notes that we may or may not get around to about how marijuana was legalized in two states and the District of Columbia this week, but the IRS is making it so it's impossible for recreational marijuana in Oregon, D.C., and where else?
I don't remember where, but the best joke I heard about it was that now they've made it more difficult to get because now you have to go all the way to the store.
Yeah. And they're also making it, the IRS is doing weird things like, since it's still federally a crime, it's illegal to write off things on your taxes as deductions that are a crime. So like you can get away, you can probably sell pot in a store and, you know, jump through all their hoops and put on their leash and get the permits and pay the payoff to the mafia of the government. You can probably get away with it most of the time, not all the time, but you can actually do it without getting arrested. But it's almost impossible to make a profit now because, like, if you're a grow operation, for instance, you can't write off, you know, the building you grow it in, the plant, the supplies, the fertilizer, the people you pay to do it, you know, so there's like no profit. So basically the federal government is making sure that it's just going to go back to the black market.
Well, good. That's where everything belongs.
That's square. That's not where everything belongs. And if anyone's shocked listening to this going, they're sounding like they think it's a good idea that people can have marijuana available. It's legal, man. It's legal now. Some places.
Yeah, all your arguments are invalid.
Yeah. You know, I've talked a lot about how I built a little radio transmitter into the handset of a telephone when I was 11. And it was before, you know, and it broadcast like 100 feet or something on FM. And I'd walk around talking into it, whether or not anyone could hear it. You know, like even if I didn't know if anyone could hear it, just the thought that they could. And that's why I'm on radio. I don't care if anyone's listening, just the thought that people can. But it was before they had those Mr. Microphones. Remember those toys?
Yeah, they just sort of sounded echoey and weird.
Yeah, but they went over, you know, you could broadcast, you know, 20 feet onto a FM radio. There was actually, before that, and before I made mine, I remember in Fabulous Furry Freak Brothers cartoons. Do you remember that?
Fabulous Fury Freak Brothers?
Furry.
Like, I don't think I've heard of this.
Oh, man. You are a fan of the pop cultures, and you should know this. I'm going to turn you on to some Fabulous Furry Freak Brothers. It was an underground comic from the 60s. It was kind of like, you know how all sitcoms are like three or four weird, disparate people who all share an apartment together?
Yeah.
It was kind of like that, but it was like hippies. And there's one where, and one of them's like a tinkerer. He's like a chemist who makes new kinds of drugs and does electronic stuff, and he makes a microphone transmitter, and they're driving around in their car, and they break into the next car's transmission and say, "This is station WEED. The United States Congress has just legalized marijuana. Yes, folks, marijuana is legal for sale." And then the guy listening is some square guy and looks really shocked. And then the hippies lean over into his car and sell him some pot in traffic. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
I don't smoke the pots. I haven't done any drugs in 20 years. You don't smoke the pots, do you?
Nope, I haven't done any drugs in 10 years.
10 years? Do you have a do you know the date?
Vaguely, it would have been March 26th-ish.
Cool. I'll
2006.
I'll bake you some
2004.
Bake you some hash brownies to celebrate. I'm kidding. I'll give you a poker chip. So I don't go to meetings anymore. So anyway,
I don't really play poker either.
We got really hijacked, but that's kind of how this show is. It's kind of okay. What were we talking about before we were talking? Where were we going before we went off on marijuana?
We were talking about spreading liberty through radiated, compartmentalized bombardments from an ionized something cannon. I was speculating whether or not liberty chemotherapy made you lose hair like regular chemotherapy, although it seems more like it makes your beard grow.
Hmm. Yeah, like I've never really liked facial hair. I tried once. I had a there's a video of my band Bomb playing in 1999 when we got back together and did a reunion in San Francisco, where I have a hipster goatee, you know, kind of a grunge scruff, as it were.
Cool. But
I'd never ever grew any facial hair before that. I've been shaving since I don't have a lot of facial hair, and I don't have a lot of chest hair or face hair, and my hair is very blonde, so I can go about 10 days without shaving before it looks like I need to shave. But I do it about mm-hmm. every 5 days because it starts to itch. But a lot of my friends are neckbeard libertarians, such as yourself.
Yeah. Is it a neck beard? Isn't a neck beard the like chin curtain?
I don't know. I just know that's a phrase people use to insult hipsters.
Okay. It's, I mean, not trimming the hair on your neck.
Yeah.
There are lots of places we were going to go. You were saying something about dude talk. I was saying something about time traveling to kill Hitler.
Yeah, there was the, we're definitely going to cover the time traveling to kill Hitler.
And then there was that article, was it? Let me find it. It was
you're just too busy talking to do a radio show like we were before the show started, huh?
Yeah, I can't, you know, talking gets in the way of talk radio.
It kind of does. Yeah.
We could talk about libertarians against humanity.
I do want to talk about that. My friend Jim Jesus has come out with we played his game Libertarians Against Humanity almost every night for a month last month. And it's basically like a card game where you have one from card pile A and one from card pile B, and you put them together to say silly stuff. There's this game, Cards Against Humanity. Well, he made an expansion deck of it, which you're allowed to do under the license of the game. And it's called Libertarians Against Humanity, and it's all libertarian-specific stuff. And he actually is doing an Indiegogo campaign to raise money to make physical decks, and he's doing pretty well. Let's see. He started this last night.
My favorite line is by libertarians for libertarians against libertarians.
Jim's a funny guy, man. I helped a bit with some writing, but I did not write that. So go to the website there, listeners and Davi, libertariansagainsthumanity.com. I want to talk a little about this awesome website he made. The I've never seen such a funny header on a website. The thing at the top of the page, it's actually...
Yeah, I'm not sure it's radio friendly.
Well, It's a video. Like the header on this page,
oh, you know, the bar across the top
actually moves. And I've never seen a website that does that. I mean, I've seen like, I don't know. Oh, he's raised $377 in one day of his $1,000 goal, which he's trying to raise in 2 months. So I think he's pretty...
He'll probably do okay.
I think he's doing okay. Okay, the header on this thing is hilarious because it's kind of... I think it's kind of like what somebody's grandmother's view of libertarians would be, because let's see, there's things burning and people rioting in the streets. There's
that looks like an Occupy Oakland thing.
It's actually the pumpkin riots in Keene.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Which
who's the guy with the thumbs?
Yeah, that's a YouTuber. I forget his name. I'd never heard him, but I checked him out. He's really funny. It's a YouTube where he's playing a televangel or a door-to-door evangelist who's evangelizing for the state.
Great. Okay. Go sell crazy someplace else.
Yeah. And then there's Stefan Molyneux doing a weird hand dance that just looks crazy.
Is that real or is that looped or something?
Let's wait till it comes up again. It's we're doing visual humor on the radio again.
It looks pretty real.
It's I think it's looped twice. I think it's doubled. And then there's of course Ron Paul. And yeah. Then there's Chris Cantwell looking crazy and screaming at the camera and shooting guns poorly with bad, dangerous gun technique and almost shooting himself as he is wont to do.
Yeah, it's really funny.
Yeah.
And then looks like
then there's the big gay,
dance
party from Porkfest. Yeah. So it's like all the things that, you know, somebody's grandmother would probably think libertarians are crazy. So it's, you know, gay people dancing, crazy guy with his hands waving, people burning and rioting in the streets, crazed evangelist going door to door, Ron Paul, and then some crazy guy with a gun. Yeah. That's libertarian.
That's libertarian. Yep. If LibPair had a constitution, it would be this video.
Yeah. So if you want to know what we're talking about, go to libertariansagainsthumanity.com. It's a long, just Google it. It'll come right up. That's what I do with long URLs is I just Google them and it corrects my spelling.
Yep. It'd be pretty interesting if we replaced like the Bill of Rights with interpretive dance.
Maybe that's what he's doing in there. Maybe that's what Molyneux is doing in there. Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, and we did.
I think that's actually his hand waving of criticism. That's what he's doing. He's shooing away all the gadflies.
Yeah.
Yes, Mr. Molyneux. Of course, Mr. Molyneux. Right away, Mr. Molyneux.
Yeah, we're gonna prove later why if you could go back in time and kill Adolf Hitler, there'd be no Stefan Molyneux.
Yep, it's true.
That's an hour two. That'll give his spies who listen to our show 24/7 now or every night to send him an email and tell him they're going to talk about you because we don't talk about him all the time or every day and we're going to talk about him for like 10. I've already talked more about that we're going to talk about him than we're actually going to talk about him in the second hour. But you know, I'm just kind of tying all the things together and making the connections. But yeah, his minions are emailing him right now saying he's doing it again, which means
he mentioned you.
Yeah. Which means, you know, one of the people that's doing the attack on our website and
Stefan Molyneux, more ears than the NSA.
All right. So, I don't want to talk about the Hitler thing yet.
Okay.
What do you want to talk about?
There was this pirate lady. This is my favorite story of everything that you sent me was the teacher who dressed up as a pirate. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, go ahead.
So they, I don't know what state this was in, but they shut down 4 schools because of a zero tolerance policy for suspicious people.
For a plastic sword on Halloween. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was Talk Like a Pirate Day. It wasn't Halloween. That's what makes it suspicious. If she had dressed like a pirate on Halloween, everybody would have just looked the other way. But just like a pirate on Talk Like a Pirate Day, and they shut down 4 schools.
You know, I think that if police don't know what Talk Like a Pirate Day is, they have no right to be my defender.
Yeah,
by force.
Protect and serve and talk like a pirate.
Yeah.
If they think you be like, speeding, matey.
If they think talking like a pirate is strange, they're on the wrong planet, man. All right, worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
This is Michael Dean of the Freedom Fiends. And my bona fides are such that I graduated summa cum laude from the School of Hard Knocks. And we're interviewing Mr. Davy Barker, who has an honorary certificate in piratology and zombieology. Although I personally just berated my professor into approving my master's thesis without reading it. So yeah.
Well, I didn't go for the full 4-year degree in piratology. I got the quick 15-minute degree.
Ah, good.
But zombies I've been following for years.
Yeah. So tell me about pirates.
Well, there's National Talk Like a Pirate Day, which is September 19th. If this seems like maybe it's old news, keep in mind that it's because the initial investigation came up empty-handed and they just figured out what was going on. So this was in North Carolina, and a woman decided to celebrate Talk Like a Pirate Day by going into her elementary school dressed like a pirate to, you know, impress her kids. And one of the other teachers, who apparently didn't know it was a joke or, you know, is blind, reported to the school office that there was a man with a gun on campus. And so they tell the reporter that they have a zero tolerance policy for suspicious people. Now, what zero tolerance means is zero thinking, which means as soon as anybody says suspicious person, they activate something called a Psylocke system. I've never heard of this before, but I'm going to figure
like
out
something
what it
out
is.
Of Star Trek.
Yeah, it's PSI, like psychology or psychotic or whatever.
Psychotic, psychological warfare, psyops.
It's a mental lock, literally. A psi lock, no thinking.
Reminds me of in The Simpsons where Lisa asks some really tough question of her teacher and she presses this silent alarm button under the teacher's desk. And it's the independent thought alarm and it rings a bell in the teacher's office.
Yeah, you got to lock that down. So what this Psylocke thing apparently does is it automatically locks up the school and calls the police. And so the police came out and they went, you know, looking around for a suspicious person and didn't find anything. And it's wow. News now because they just figured out it was this woman in a pirate hat and a plastic sword.
People are square and so stupid.
The thing that bugs me is the teacher speak in this. So the teacher didn't say that she felt threatened by the costume. She said she was threatened by the costume. Ugh. Like as if, you know what I mean?
As if the costume held a real knife to her throat. Yeah.
Yeah. Guns don't kill people. Pirate costumes kill people. So, you know, people should have to register their pirate costumes. And, you know, if they have any sort of a felony or sexual whatever charge, they should not be able to renew their whatever for. They should not be allowed to have pirate costumes. And because they threaten people. So I don't know. This is, I guess, just chalk this one up to the idiocy of zero tolerance policies.
Yeah, it's pretty bizarre to me that pirates are a thing, or not that they're a thing, but that they're allowed to be a thing. Pirates were not the fun loving adventuresome types that they're kind of dumbed down to in a lot of media or in the common mind. They were they were a very, you know, murderous. I mean, they had some codes of ethics. They would not kill everyone on the ship if everyone surrendered and gave their stuff. But well, they were
it's right there in the name. They were pirates. It was piracy. Yeah. There's the black flag with the skull and crossbones. Not friendly characters.
Yeah.
But, you know, characters like Captain Morgan have led us to believe that they were all just fun-loving partygoers. And they were just sailing out into international waters to avoid, you know, laws and stuff.
No, they were sailing into international waters to rob and rape and pillage and murder and loot and anything else that's a real crime you can think of.
Yep. Yep. And they were probably also evading warrants and things like that.
Well, that was the thing, too. I mean, like, what a pirate was literally someone who was doing all that without a permission slip from the government. Because there were privateers, which were government-sponsored pirates. And the UK, you know, England and America used those, you know, to do things like, it was basically like before they had a navy or to augment their navy, they would issue a letter of marque, M-A-R-Q-U-E.
Yeah.
And, you know, send like in the War of 1812, like the U.S. issued letters of marque. And I think Lincoln issued them for the North to attack ships of the South, too. And basically it was like, we don't pay you, but we're giving you permission to go steal and take whatever you want. And the really hilarious thing to me is, you know, I think that the U.S. went about getting vengeance for 9/11, if it even was not a government plot, in all the wrong ways, and anything smaller would have been better or privater. But I love that Ron Paul invoked the Constitution and said, "Let's issue letters of marque."
Yeah,
because it's in there. He was basically saying, "Let's send some official pirates to go get
level of bounty."
Yeah, Bin Laden.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends. An invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Now that the elections are over and liberty has slipped even further away, it's time to try yet another political organization. Campaign for a Longer Leash is a nonpartisan group of pups and dogs dedicated to fighting for longer leashes for all. We're not talking about no leashes, that would be catarchy. We just want the limited leash that the Hounding Fathers promised us. As Bone Barklin once said, "A longer leash, if you can keep it, ma'am." For more info, go to facebook.com/campaignforalongerleash.
For Freedom Fiends. This is the Right Honorable Michael W. Dean. And the Right Honorable Davi Barker is having problems with the term Mark, M-A-R-Q-U-E. No, it's not like Marquis de Sade. That's a title. Letter of Mark. What is a letter of Mark, Davi? Wait, you're the one that doesn't know.
I'm the one that doesn't know. As far as I know, it's a wanted poster.
It's not really a wanted poster. It's because a wanted poster goes up in public and anybody can answer to it. A letter of mark is to a specific individual or group of individuals, usually, to go out and find a specific enemy. And
so it's like a bounty hunter.
Bring them back dead or alive. Yeah. Except instead of paying them, like, you know, bounty hunter, you'd have to pay. Back in the day, it was a reward. And now it's generally, you know, daily expenses plus a bonus if they catch the person. But letter of mark, the payment was you got to take whatever you want from the target. It was a license to, it was a license to steal. It was a pirate. Yeah. It was a registered pirate. It was a government pirate, basically.
A registered pirate. It even says this in the Wikipedia article. It says, in contrast to unlicensed piracy. So it was licensed piracy.
That's funny because now with people downloading media, music, and movies, I've heard it called unlicensed piracy. Can you get a piracy license from the MIAA? Or
I don't know. Is there an analogy to the letter of mark for online piracy? Like, can you hire?
Yeah, it's those lawyer
letters. To go out and download a file for you.
Yeah, it's those lawyer letters that copyright attorneys in Los Angeles send on behalf of software and music and movie companies and email to the Pirate Bay. And then the Pirate Bay posts them on the Pirate Bay and laughs at them in ways that I'd love to read some of them, but they're not really radio friendly.
Maybe a DMCA is sort of like a letter of mark.
There you go.
Although that's sort of it's not quite right.
Not really. Yeah. That's more of a writ of arrest in a civil sense.
A writ.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is like in the Constitution, right? Like a letter of mark is it's old timey and nobody really knows about it, but it's right there in the Constitution for all those people who claim to have read it.
Yeah, everyone who says they love the Constitution and they want to go back to the Constitution. The interesting thing is there's parts of the Constitution that no one really knows about, and the only people that know about and actually try to use are libertarian Republicans, like Ron Paul. Read the part at the bottom, 21st Century American Reconsideration of Letters of Mark.
So the issue of mark and reprisal was raised before Congress after the 9/11 attacks, and again on July 21st, 2007 by Congressman Ron Paul. Ron Paul.
I like him. He used to be my favorite government thug, and I like him a lot more now that he's back to being a grandpa.
He's still my favorite government thug. I guess he's not a government thug anymore. I guess there's nobody left in government for me.
Well, there's Gary Johnson is not for me, but he is also read on. He's the only other
Gary
guy.
Gary Johnson went to Porkfest and advocated the fair tax. All right.
Like, Gary Johnson went to Porkfest and his people littered. Do you know about that?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Gary Johnson
got his big old monster truck stuck in the mud.
That's a really good literal physical analogy for his political career. He went to the target rich environment where there might actually be more than 1 in 20 people that would vote for him if they voted. And then he gave a speech littered, you know, they put flyers on everyone's car and they were just all blowing in the mud by the next day. And then he got his big monster truck stuck in the mud and had to have people push him out.
I heard a statistic today. It's a little bit of a tangent, but I heard a statistic today that only 20% of likely voters in California could name either of the gubernatorial candidates in this election.
It's got the word, and you know, it's got the word goober right in the name.
He's a goober. So yeah, we reelected Goober Brown here, and I didn't elect him, but people elected Goober Brown. But I just thought that was such a remarkable statistic, because you're saying these people, these are likely voters, not like all Californians. These are people that went out to the ballot and put their vote in and didn't know the name of either candidate.
There's a movie, a really stupid movie that stars, who's the guy that made Waterworld and lost a bunch of money on it?
Kevin Costner?
Yeah, Kevin Costner. There's a Kevin Costner movie where he plays kind of a rural everyman single dad living in Iowa who, you know, works with his hands. I don't know if he's a farmer, but And the whole premise of the movie is that he ends up by a bunch of weird things happening with the Electoral College. He ends up deciding who becomes president, like as if they would allow that to happen.
Oh, but yeah. It was down to one vote.
Yeah.
And his ballot, like he didn't cross his T or whatever. Yeah, and so he had to re-vote. And so they were giving him a month to think about it.
Yeah.
And that was such a big, just big old propaganda piece for democracy.
It like, really was.
No, it can really come down to one vote.
Yeah. And he really didn't care, but his, 13-year-old daughter talked him into the importance.
He was made to care.
Yeah.
And we just ignore the Electoral College because the popular vote doesn't really matter. So, it's just like, oh man, it's like a bad civics lesson.
It really is. It really, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if there was some government money in the making of that movie.
Yeah. Or maybe it might just be like people who really want to believe in the system and they can't fathom in their head the way the real system works. And so they make movies about how they wish it worked.
Yeah. They can't fathom that it's actually like one guy in the White House deciding on his BlackBerry and pushing, who wins for each thing. But, I don't know if it's quite that, but it might as well be that. But, people are getting so disgruntled with voting and people are not doing it. And we don't do it. I did the last two shows, on the one before the election on why we're not going to vote tomorrow, and the one after the election on why we didn't vote yesterday. I think it's going to get to the point where it's like, and this is the fear of the people who know that voting is stupid, but do it anyway because they think if they don't, this will happen. I think it's going to get down to like there is going to be one, machinist in single dad machinist in Iowa who's the only person who votes.
Yeah, it's not that it came down to one vote. It's that there was only one vote.
I know.
And then it'll be like, we're having an election. Would one person please come down to the polls? And they're like, nah, man.
Two people will vote. They'll need a tiebreaker. They'll have to convince someone to go vote to be a tiebreaker.
We're having a talk like an unlicensed pirate party that day.
Yeah, I don't want to blow something funny that's going to happen on Saturday, but Nikki or Sunday, I forget when Nikki's on, but I'll tell this story because it fits now. She can expand on it, but she said she lives like 200 feet from her polling place and didn't vote.
Yeah, my wife asked me. She came up to me and she asked me to kind of explain my position because we sort of disagree about this. And so I was like, well,
she's a voter. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like, I'm like, it's more than one thing. It's like all of these things. And I laid out like six reasons why I don't vote. And like, so we actually started having a conversation about each one of these things instead of one at a time. And then it like, she explained to me, or like, it occurred to me, oh, today's the day people vote. Like it hadn't even occurred to me like why this conversation came up.
I know. Yeah. I tried to be that clueless. I was wishing I was that clueless. People were yammering on Facebook about not voting. And I post, everyone was like trying to sound more small government man than the next person. And like, oh, I haven't voted in 10 years. And I came out and I said like, oh, it's election day. But I was fibbing. I said, I said, I wish I didn't know it was election day.
Oh, I've got it down to an art. Like I have clients that like send me paid work to do voter guides. And I managed to get through the project without reading it.
Can you really do graphic design without laying an eye on the text?
Yeah, it's a completely different part of your brain. You just shut off the text part of your brain. You turn on the like color and composition part of your brain and you don't have to read any of it.
I couldn't do that because I'm so into proofreading that if I were doing graphic arts for somebody, I would consider it an unpaid important part of the job to go above and beyond that. I would take a quick read through it and make sure there weren't any glaring typos in it.
Oh yeah. If it were any other kind of job, I would.
If you cared. Oh man.
So yeah, people were elected and things happened. Things changed. Don't you know America's different now?
Yeah, my wife came home and told me that we have a new mayor today. I'm like, I couldn't even name the old one. I don't care.
Yeah. The only reason I know about Jerry Brown is because he sounds so much like Grandpa Simpson.
Yeah, the only reason I know Jerry Brown is because the band Dead Kennedys had a song about him called California
like,
Uber Ellis.
He is like a political zombie. I mean,
put it this way, like this song was written in like 1979 or 80 when he was governor of California.
Yeah.
And it's relevant again now because he's governor of California again.
Because they mummified him and they left him in a tomb for like 10 years and then they resurrected him to run for office.
And then there was a follow-up to that song by Dead Kennedys called We've Got a Bigger Problem Now. And it was the same music, but it was different words. And it was about Ronald Reagan, you know, and hey, that's like, those people were a big influence on me back in the day. And like, they did two versions of the same song, bashing a Democrat and a Republican. They were equal opportunity. Everyone's yeah. Horrible, but isn't he, and the Reagan one is pretty much again relevant because it's talking about invading Afghanistan. It's talking about, you know, going to war for corporate profits, and Reagan's name is invoked all the time by Republicans anyway.
He's
still around. There's actually an Onion article about a straw poll of like everyone that was running for Republican this time. And then one of the choices was like, you know, the dug up body of Ronald Reagan. And it was polling higher than any of the people that were actually running.
A straw poll. That's where straw men go to watch strippers, right?
Okay, what were you going to say? I sidejacked you.
I don't know. I think I hijacked myself. We were talking about Reagan being an actor or a zombie or something.
Your voice just got really weird over the Skype, and it kind of worked because it was like, you were like, we were talking about Reagan being an actor or a zombie. It was almost like you pressed a button and made it happen, but usually that isn't good, but it was actually very good there.
I control electromagnetic radiation with my brain. That's how that works.
Well, I have a low orbit ion cannon that's pointed at people that disagree with me disagreeing with people.
I guess I have a zero tolerance policy for politicians. it's true. There's no thinking involved. I already know I don't like them.
Oh, my wife didn't vote. I want to say nothing. I'm not saying anything bad about your wife. I'm saying something good about my wife. My wife didn't vote. She just knows who won, who's the mayor, because, you know, it was water cooler talk at her job. So she don't care. And the only one I checked was the one guy I know, the guy I've gone out shooting with, who he also shoots cats, but I don't shoot cats with him. I wouldn't do that. He shoots feral cats. That guy won.
Yeah, that's an interesting job. I wonder.
It's not a job. It's a hobby. That's the weird thing about it.
That is weird. I mean, there's not a letter of mark on the feral cats.
Yeah, there is. He has a license from the city. I think he paid to do it. I don't know.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com. That's the cat that avoided getting shot. He jumped out of the way. Didn't get shot by the state rep in Wyoming. So this state rep in Wyoming is kind of known for a few things. One is trying to pass a law to outlaw Sharia law in Wyoming, because I guess that just comes up so often. No, it actually doesn't. You know, there were a few legislators around the country who tried to do that around 2 or 3 years ago. It was all the rage.
Did they define what Sharia law meant? Because Muslims have been trying to do that for like 1400 years.
No, I think it was like something they heard on Glenn Beck and said, oh my God, the Sharia law, they're trying to make that in America.
Muslims are coming into American courtrooms and not eating pork.
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. It, so put on your scholar cap here and explain this.
Okay, so I mean, this is I'm just so tired of this from the sort of right wing or sort of Tea Party hijackers. I'm just like, so Sharia is the Arabic word for law. Saying Sharia law is like saying Chinese food. It's just the word law.
Yeah, in China, they don't call it Chinese food. They call it law.
Right. So if you're in a like so-called like Islamic government like Saudi Arabia and you say law, that's the law of the land. It's just like you'd say law in the United States. if for whatever reason the like language in the United States was Arabic, you would say law. Every time you like constitution humpers are talking about the rule of law, you'd be using the word Sharia if you spoke Arabic. Even if you were an Arabic Christian, same word. And so when you say ban Sharia law, it's such a vague, like nonsensical thing, especially in the realm of law where definitions of terms matters. It doesn't make any sense to me. It's like,
these are the same people that like changed the word for, you know, stop calling called French fries, victory fries during World War II. And then I think started that up again. For some reason,
it was freedom fries. Right after Operation Iraqi Freedom, when France said that they weren't going to help, we changed, or at least Congress had a conversation.
You know that thing George Bush had where he invaded Iraq and defeated all of the people with scary people with guns over there and said mission accomplished.
Yeah,
that.
So I, you know, when that was going on, I was saying, you know, if you really want to stick it to the French, let's just send them the Statue of Liberty because we're not using it.
Yeah. And, you know, it's the Statue of Liberty, but there's a no smoking sign in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is very not a TSA style checkpoint to get to it,
which is very not liberty minded. It's also very not French. I was last in France in 2005. And, you know, I mean, cigarettes are kind of banned in America, a lot of places. But in France, I saw an 14-year-old Italian girl from Italy, smoking a cigarette in the airport, in the gate, like waiting for the plane and like screaming in Italian on her cell phone. That's France, man.
You know who banned cigarettes? The Taliban. That's who banned cigarettes. There you
go. Yeah. What else did the Taliban ban that people should know if they're into banning things?
There are certain books that they banned, or women being outside without a male escort.
Women having rights. Yeah. So if you're against equal rights for women and you're into banning some speech and you're into banning cigarettes, you're like the Taliban. What else?
You know, it's kind of funny. And I mean, this is not really like a feather in anyone's cap because I have a zero tolerance policy for politicians. But it's interesting to me that these like more radical, like they're associated with a radical Islam. They've elected more female politicians than the United States had. They've had more female heads of state than the United States.
Yeah.
Like, and that's just so funny to me. Like, so women here can burn their bras and get abortions, but women over there actually like have influential positions in their society.
Aren't there a lot of female attorneys in Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, there are. And there's a pilot recently and all sorts of other things.
Yeah.
It's not a black and white game.
And I'm not saying Saudi Arabia is a more fun place to live than America, because I think that's probably not true. But I like people to examine their misconceptions.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Well, if you're into banning pornography, Taliban are not fans of pornography.
So if you want to ban cigarettes, move to Afghanistan.
Yeah. If you don't like the dirty pictures. I don't know. I can't say you're like the Taliban. I'm not going to say it. But yeah. Don't be so square. I guess that's the redemption in the third act.
I just want some nuance. That's what I want. I want nuance.
Yeah. There you go. Humans.
Worms
are predictable. We'll be back.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges. Yeah!
This is Davi Barker from ShinyBadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at ShinyBadges.com, write WORMS in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
This is the Freedom Fiends. broadcasting from Financial Beast Plaza on the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. We're keeping a sin flood of statism out of your brain by bombarding your frontal lobes and warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. Can you feel it, Davi? Is it working? Can you feel it?
I sure can. How low is that orbit anyway?
Pretty low, man. It's pretty low. It's over the house of it's over the houses of my enemies. No, it's we have this theory on the Freedom Fiends.
It's in a geosynchronous orbit above my tool shed.
Yes. We know what you have in there. Yeah, we have this theory on the Freedom Fiends that liberty will be available in our lifetime, actually in about 3 years, because it takes radio waves. They travel at the speed of light, and you know, which means it takes a year for them to go a light year, the distance of a light year. And the nearest possibly habitable planet is 4.3 light years away in the Alpha Centauri region. And the Freedom Fiends have been on radio for about 1.3 years. So in about three more years, our signal will get to that planet. The ultra benevolent and ultra intelligent species that live on that planet will hear the Freedom Fiends and say, "Wow, we've been monitoring this planet for 100 years. And this is the first sign of intelligent life we've heard." And they will come down and either give us their state-proofing domes to keep government away from us and tyranny away from us, or they'll just tesseract us to their planet and we'll get our own planet. You know, that'd be pretty cool.
Right.
Yeah.
So it'll either be like Cocoon, where we're brought into a sort of like higher level of light or whatever.
Yeah.
Or it'll be like Stranger in a Strange Land, and we'll just be able to blink aggression away.
Yeah. Oh, did you get the billion-year contract with the Freedom Fiends I sent you? Have you signed that yet, Davi?
I haven't. No. Okay. Well, is there an exit clause?
No. Yeah, the exit clause is if you want to be on the show, you have to sign my billion-year contract.
Okay.
You get your own planet, though.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
I assume after the billion years that's conserved.
I don't know, man. I'm making all this up. No, I'm mixing and matching one from column A with one from column X squared. Yeah. So you wanted to talk about, I have an announcement.
Okay.
Let me put on the effects here. Good evening, Jackson, Mississippi. We are welcoming station WPBQ, who have been carrying us on Sundays for about a year, but they just picked up five nights a week. So we're on the radio there too. So we're getting some good, swampy transmissions here. And speaking of swampy transmissions, we're starting on one of my favorite towns in the world on Sunday. We're starting in New Orleans. How cool is that?
That is pretty cool.
That's a big town, you know? Yeah.
So we must be getting some vampires.
It's a big town with lots of weirdos. I lived there for a summer and, yeah, it's a weird town, man.
I've always wanted to go there. I had to do it now that I'm an adult.
You really should, man. Yeah, it's not a place for children.
Well, I just mean, like, I fly around the country all the time now. When I was a kid, it was sort of just a fantasy, but yeah, now I do it, so.
Yeah, you have your approved TSA status by now, probably, huh?
I think I'm default unapproved. Default, we need to thumb through all of your things by hand.
Yeah, for those who don't know, the reason we're finding this so amusing is my co-host, Mr. Davi Barker, who, go ahead and say hi, Davi.
How's it going?
Yeah, that's Davi.
Still me.
I'm not saying like, speak, ruff, ruff. I'm saying like, ruff, so people meow. Can tell your voice from my voice. Because we both have such, you know, low, gravelly, sultry slurs that they might not know who's slurring at them. Stop issuing slurs at me. But yeah, and you don't slur. I slur a little bit. If I went right now to journalism school at age 50 and didn't tell them I was on radio and signed up and took like an intro to radio class where they set you down in front of a microphone and have you read some news copy, they would probably say, "You don't belong on radio. You should go to the engineering part of this school and be a radio engineer or something." Cause I don't really have a classic, classically trained radio voice, but people seem to like it and people dig Davi. Here's the reason we're laughing is Davi Barker. It's pretty funny to say Davi Barker would have pre-approved TSA, you know, the, like, you can just go through the line. We don't care. Because Davi Barker made international news, including like what magazines, like Fortune,
Forbes magazine, I forget, Business Insider, Wired.
Like a few million people read about what the TSA did to Davi. What did the
And still like approach me and hate say like, hey, you're the TSA guy.
Yeah.
So yeah, what I did was
Wait, I gotta say it's kind of funny because you and me, our whole life, have done things that get out in the world and get recognized. And I would say we're different from a lot of people who do that because we're not like concerned and like white knuckled about, oh my God, I'm not popular enough. I need to get more popular. I've always been kind of happy on the cool, weird, lower end of my stuff, of me being known. And really it's more about my stuff and my thoughts being known. And I think you're like that too, but it's kind of funny that you've worked your whole life at being doing things that can get you known. And you are known for a lot of different things, but the thing you're most known for is being hassled by the TSA.
Yeah. So I got stopped because some brilliant TSA officer thinks he saw Bitcoin in my luggage.
That's like saying I saw emails in your luggage. They were floating around in a bag. Yeah. Bitcoin is not a physical thing. It's basically a number on the internet.
Right.
Yeah.
And so he wanted to search through my bag after I had already been screened. Like it had already, they'd scanned my luggage twice and they'd given me the pat down and they'd physically gone through my bag. And as I was leaving the screening area, I was approached by two more agents who said, yeah, we need to search your bag and ask you a bunch of questions about where you're going because we saw Bitcoin in your luggage, which is just physically impossible. What he really saw was a t-shirt that I was wearing.
That said, Bitcoin, not bombs.
Well, it didn't even say that. It was just a picture of a plane like dropping Bitcoin out of the bay doors.
Which, dropping a representation of Bitcoin.
Yeah, dropping a B, a coin, circle with a B on it.
See, the thing is, every article, since it's an amorphous thing that can't be described. Okay, picture in 1996 when there were starting to be a lot of articles about the internet. And I was on the internet then, but most people weren't for a long time after that. But I had a website then that I made myself and hand-coded in HTML. But, you know, all those articles in Time and Newsweek and like, the internet, the future is now. Like, you know, you need a picture for an article in that kind of magazine, and there's really not a picture of the internet. So they would have...
It would be like if I had a t-shirt with the AOL inbox envelope icon on it, and the guy said, I'd like to check your email.
Yes, I see you have emails. I think you have emails in your bag. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So a lot of magazines, you know, when Bitcoin came out, it was like, it was so new and weird that even people who used the internet couldn't wrap their head around it. So they would search Google images for Bitcoin to try to find an image to use. And there's all these images of a physical representation, a symbol of a Bitcoin, which is like
a token with a B on it. It looks like an arcade token.
Yeah. Yeah, for like the Brooklyn Arcade or something.
And so this TSA agent obviously saw a PowerPoint presentation about the dangers of terrorist money laundering, drug, child pornography money. And that PowerPoint presentation had a picture of these arcade tokens.
You know, the funny thing is, I really think that those bad people are probably using U.S. $100 bills more than they're using Bitcoin because
it's more reliable for
them.
It's
more reliable and it's actually... less traceable, you know?
Yeah, it is. That's true.
I mean, there's serial numbers on money, but, you know, if it goes through this and goes through that, and it's pretty easy to hide the source of what bank it came from after three or four transactions. Whereas Bitcoin, there's no name attached to it, but literally you can see every transaction that's ever been made. It's on the blockchain and you can look on a website and you can, if you have an address for somebody and you know that it's connected to that person, you can't see the name of the person they transacted with, but you can see every amount that came in and out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, like we've even set it up. So if you send a donation to Bitcoin, not bombs, our account automatically tweets that we've received the donation and the amount. So because we've set up a bot to just sort of scour the blockchain for our address and tweet about it.
Yeah, it's the opposite.
So it's that
of
kind
of
it's that kind of transparent. Like we use it because it makes it easy for people to audit their donations to us.
I mean, you use it because you get the little adrenaline, the little endorphin rush when it goes ding
bling.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is what I'm known for some reason.
So show me on the doll where the TSA touched you, Davi.
Well, everywhere they met resistance. I mean, that's as far as it goes.
What happened?
Well, you know, that's the line, right? Like they say, I'm going to move up your leg until I meet resistance, which means that they're going to, you know, cut your junk.
Yeah.
That's what resistance is.
I don't know. I think when you meet Davi Barker, if you work for the government, I think you're meeting resistance.
That's what I said.
Not to say that you're a big junk, but, you know.
No. And, you know, I try not to be a jerk in these scenarios, but I also try not to go along, yeah. You know. And so I keep calm and I say, you know, I'm going to comply. I'm going to do what you're asking. I just want to be perfectly clear that I don't consent to this and you're touching me against my will. And that makes them really uncomfortable because yeah. Then I'm just going along, putting my feet where they tell me, I put my hands where they tell me.
It makes them feel kind of rapey, you know?
But that's what they're doing, right?
Because all day long, they are doing things that would be, you know, considered sexual assault if you walked to someone on the street and did them. And for some reason, people are such sheep that they go, okay. You know, people don't even say, I don't like that, but I guess if you have to, they just say, okay. And actually to the point of like making fun of people that are bothered by it. Like, oh, you don't like a stranger touching your sex organs? What are you, a terrorist?
Yep.
I mean, that's how ridiculous America has gotten and the world.
If you don't like men in uniforms cupping your junk, move to Somalia.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things I've added to my script is when they offer to take me into a private room, I say, why? Are you embarrassed?
Ooh, I like that. I like that. I'd be hard pressed not to say, what are you going to do? You? And then something I can't say on radio, but
I'm trying to be friendly and cordial. Like I don't put on an aggressive tone. I don't do anything like that. I just want to tell them what I think, you know, and cause I'm a human and they're a human and you know, we should be allowed to communicate.
I really want to see video. I've told Derek J that I want to see this to happen. Derek J is one of our co-hosts and he made a film called Derek J's Victimless Crime Spree, which is basically, you know, 90 minutes of him getting arrested for nanny crimes and telling the police officers that they're stupid for doing it. I would really like to see video of him going through a TSA checkpoint and yelling, bad touch, bad touch, bad touch, as loud as he could so everyone in the airport hears them. You know, like what they teach kids to say if a stranger touches them.
I would stranger like to see, danger.
Yeah, I would love to see Derek yelling stranger danger and bad touch at a TSA agent.
I need an adult.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Having outgrown childish libertarian fantasies, I now believe in worms! What is Libertarians Against Humanity? It's the only unofficial Cards Against Humanity expansion pack by libertarians, for libertarians, and against libertarians. Libertarians Against Humanity is free to play online, or join the Indiegogo campaign to get physical copies and other perks to play with friends or status you haven't defued yet. Because if we don't laugh, the status win.
Not recommended for faint heart, thin skins, or those who easily rustle jimmies. Consult a physician if you experience drop blood pressure or laughter lasts longer than 4 hours.
That's libertariansagainsthumanity.com.
This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting from our low orbit ion cannon in Alpha Centauri region, in the Alpha Centauri region. And I ordered some more buttons today, Davi, from our friend Krizzle. Have you ordered?
I need to do that.
Yeah. I just told him to tune in, but he probably hasn't tuned in yet. So we're probably just talking about Krizzle. And no one knows who Krizzle
I'll drop
is.
Him an email. I need some buttons.
Yeah. We could just order them over the radio. Hey, Krizzle, if you're listening, repeat Davi's last order and the check's in the mail.
Yeah.
Check.
We're broadcasting you a Bitcoin transaction over radio now. 1CLM.
Yeah. Did you ever hear one of those stations that just broadcasts like data, like analog data back in the day?
The like midnight numbers stations? Yeah. I don't know what I've heard.
Was it reading numbers or was it broadcasting like high speed Morse code?
I've heard both. I've never heard them live, but I've heard recordings of them on various conspiracy sites and they weird me out. I don't know what that's about because there's somebody doing it in real time. It's not like an artifact of something. Oh, like somebody's maintaining
since,
those
it's
things.
It's been going on since World War II. Yeah. And what kind of numbers are they? Are they long numbers?
Yeah, just strings of numbers.
It's the blockchain. It's Bitcoin.
That's what it is.
Transactions in binary. Yeah.
So, like, is it just some, like, Bunker Bob who's, like, thinking I'm going to broadcast some secret Morse code thing?
Well,
or are there people who listen to that stuff?
And act on it and take their marching orders from it?
Right.
Yeah, it's never been figured out what it is. What are they called? Letter state number stations?
Yeah, I think that's what they're called. Yeah,
I've read the Wikipedia article on that. It's pretty bizarre. I'm a big fan of radio. Here, let me play some number stations for you.
Great. Okay.
Yankee Hotel Foxtrot. That's weird. It's just YHF. I don't know what that means.
That means cheese, no onions, double pepperoni.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. Someone takes a lot, you know, someone maintains that stuff. That's what's weird to me about it.
Yeah. Then there's what's the high speed transmitted like Morse code radio? Data radio.
A modem dial, a dial-up modem?
No. I've definitely heard this before. I've heard this on the number stations are only on shortwave as far as I know. You've never heard them on FM or AM, right?
I've only heard them on YouTube. I've never heard them live.
Oh, okay. Cuz I've heard them on something that I used to when I was a kid. It was I either heard them on AM or FM, or I had an AM/FM radio that also got shortwave. They used to make those back in the day a lot.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, telegrams are Morse code, right? That's pretty fast.
Yeah, but the stuff I'm thinking of is faster than a human could transmit. I think what it is like a human inputs it, and then, you know, it's kind of a holdover of when data was expensive. Like, and radio kind of still is an expensive medium compared to, you know, internet transmission. So they would speed up the transmission of it. Like, you know, somebody would key out 300 pages of text and into the machine, and then the machine would speed it up. So it would, you know, in 1/10 of the time it would transmit, on the other end, a machine would decode it.
Hmm.
It was kind of like analog digital transmission. Yeah.
It could be anything. Yeah. It's probably some conspiracy nut. maybe it's a Warren Canary. Maybe it's like there's people that know if those numbers stop broadcasting, then something's wrong.
Yeah. You know, there's a thing called an uneven hand in Morse code. Do you know what that is?
No.
You know, we think of Morse code, like people who don't live in Morse code, which is most people these days, never really think about, you know, they just think of it as a thing that like sounds like machines make it, but it's actually keyed by humans. You know, when it's keyed by humans, which it was for most of its life, you can actually tell things about like the personality or condition of somebody. Like, you know, let's say a Morse code operator that you knew and did Morse code with regularly was injured or under duress, you might be able to tell from how he keyed it, you know, in a kind of uneven, unsteady hand.
Like it didn't sound like his accent or something.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah. And the movie, the TV show Jericho, you know how each one begins with some weird white text on a black background kind of fading out, and then you hear some Morse code. The Morse code in that, it's a different message every time, but it's in an unsteady hand, like someone who's injured or under duress.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
We'll be back with more after this trip to the market. Hold on here.
I wonder if you could hear it in my voice.
If you were under duress.
Yeah.
No, if we say word, we're under duress.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Do you believe in free speech? Jay Raven had her True Shives YouTube channel taken down. We believe this censorship was wrong, and we believe the channel is a clear example of free speech. Many people are bullied on the internet, but Jay Raven actually stood up to the bullying. She has filed a self-defense lawsuit against the individuals who took down the channel. The outcome of this suit could be very important to the future of free speech. Learn more at TrueShibes.com. That's Tango, Romeo, Uniform, Sierra, Hotel, India, Bravo, Echo, Sierra.com. TrueShibes.com.
Dobby Barker.
Michael W. Dean.
We're on the radio.
It's true. I'm sitting on a radio right now.
I'm sitting on a radio. You ever notice when Bill Buepert's on, when Bill Buepert is on and he says, instead of saying, it's a fact, Google it, he says, it's a fact, start page it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's because he doesn't use Google because he thinks Start Page is less evil, or, you know, less likely to cooperate with the government or something. And
well, it doesn't record your data is the point.
Yeah, it doesn't.
It's kind of a proxy service or something too, but I don't really understand it.
Yeah, it doesn't, but I'll bet the government still does. But I like that he goes the extra mile, the extra millimeter to, you know, try to not do what everyone does that just plugs you into the Borg.
Well, I took the Start Page challenge. I just lost. That's all.
What's that?
They used to advertise on, and they used to advertise this thing called the Start Page challenge, which was to commit to using Start Page for a week instead of your regular search engine. And if you are not accustomed to it after a week, then to stay with it. And if you still don't like it, go back to your old one. And I couldn't get used to Start Page. It wasn't giving me the results I wanted.
Yeah, the problem is Google is so, like, tendrilled into your brain and everything you do. Like, you know, you can check your mail is there. You know, I have a Gmail account. It's connected to YouTube now. They own YouTube. So a lot of the things I do, you know, Google makes it easier. It's kind of, I guess it's kind of a case of give me convenience or give me death. You know, it's kind of like I should care more and try a little harder. But I don't know, man. That's the thing is, like, all the things that spy on you the most and make it easy for the government to spy on you are the things that make it most convenient. You know, I actually said in like 1996, I said a couple things about the internet that were pretty prescient. One was that I just retweeted today. Like I said it in 1997. I'll say it again. The great thing about the internet is you get to talk to people you'd never hear of otherwise. The horrible thing about the internet is you get to talk to people you'd never hear of otherwise.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And the other thing was that, you know, I'd always thought that 1984 would come, you know, with the Stasi bugging your phones and forcing you into compliance to everything the government wants you to do. And it's more like the internet just makes everything so fun that the government can spy on, that it's more like, you know, people get in line 48 hours ahead of time and camp out to get the new, you know, brain implant from Apple or whatever.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's Brave New World, not 1984.
Yeah, which is a kinder, gentler one. And, you know, in 1984, everyone's life was horrible. But in Brave New World, you know, if you were one of the compliant drones, you got to, like, you know, have multiple sex partners and take psychedelic drugs. Actually, you were almost forced to.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was a social pressure, but yeah, there were, what was it, orgy services or something like that instead of church in that book?
Yeah, and, you know.
And it was considered immoral to be monogamous because I don't know why exactly, but that was the way the book was written. So. Yeah,
and I think we're headed more towards a, you know, Brave New World with touches of 1984 around the crunchy edges. A crunchy 1984 outside with a deliriously yummy and toxic Brave New World Center.
Yeah, well, I mean, the government just takes all these dystopian books as instruction manuals and sort of blends them together. So,
yeah,
that's how it works.
So, Google. But, I mean,
yeah, Google. So, Google, you know, famously, their corporate motto is "Don't be evil," or at least it was.
Yeah,
and they've recently, Larry Page recently came out and said that they've outgrown that mission statement.
Did he really?
That's what this says, essentially.
Wow. You know, there's a meme going around last year, and it was one of those three-part things. It was like, you know, 1990 or, you know, 2001 Google motto, "Don't be evil." You know, 2008 Google motto, "Evil is hard to define." You know, 2013 Google motto, we build robots for the military.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you were joking that the attorneys for Google had told them they could no longer.
Yeah, they can no longer legally claim to not be evil.
Yes,
it would be false advertising, or it might open them up to a tort or something.
Yes. And my counsel has advised me to clearly state that that is a joke. So don't DMCA me, bro.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's actually a thing in 30 Rock about GE, General Electric. And that's a movie, you know, the company GE owns the company that owns NBC, that owns Shinehart Wig Company, that makes 30 Rock or whatever. So, but there's a thing in there where there's a GE telethon, and on the wall they have a big banner that says GE cares, and it has a big picture of the globe with a smiley face on it, and then in small letters under it, GE cares, it says not legally binding.
Your some user, what is it?
Your mileage may vary.
Your mileage may vary.
Yeah. So, speaking of evil, I mean, the thing that people always say when they think of the ultimate example of evil is Adolf Hitler, and he was pretty darn evil. I would say there have been a lot of other very evil people, evil tyrants in the world. Hitler is kind of unique. Not just because, you know, the people he largely went after, the Jews, all moved to America and started PR agencies. So that's the Holocaust in history that gets the most play. And it's the,
well, not all of them. A lot of them moved to Israel.
Yeah. And started PR agencies. But that's based on fact, man. I was in the music industry. I
mean, just think if they'd created PR agencies while they were in Germany, the whole thing could have been avoided.
Maybe. But yeah.
I've been having this argument on Facebook for the last like day or so about whether or not it's moral to go back in time and murder baby Hitler.
That is such a like first.
It's
first,
specious. First that's what it
of,
is.
That's the first week of the first year of college ethics class. I mean, it's so pedantic. It's such a childish argument. But go ahead, man.
This is exactly why it bothers me.
But you didn't have time to talk to me when I called you the other day. I think you need to reevaluate your priorities here, brother.
Maybe I can go back in time.
I think you should go back in time.
To you.
I think you should.
No, so this is what bothers me about all these like moral conundrum questions is that they give you the answer. There are only two choices.
The lifeboat scenarios.
Murder a baby. Or all the, murder all the Jews are allowed die. To be murder yeah. all the Jews. And I'm and like, you know, not, there are.
He, it's not just all the Jews. He also murdered, and I'm not a Holocaust denier. I believe he murdered 6 million Jews. He also murdered, you know, about 4 million other people who were largely, you know, intellectuals, dissidents, homosexuals.
So lawyers. You got to kill the lawyers because you can't allow a difference of legal opinion.
Yeah. Did he kill lawyers?
Yeah. I think it was lawyers first. That's what I always tell my wife that because she's.
And there was also some religious group. Was it Seventh-day Adventists? It was one of the modern religions. Yeah.
I'm not sure.
It was the Watchtower people. Who were they?
But, that's Jehovah's Witnesses. Yeah, that sounds right.
He killed a bunch of them. Yep.
But this is why this bothers me as like a moral quandary is if you could actually go back in time and change things, there are so many ways you could alter the course of history without murdering a baby.
I know.
Like, You could use your sort of knowledge of the future to make a few choice investments and then just bankroll his you know lame art career. You know,
yeah.
If he'd become
that is what people say was that he was a failed painter. I mean, what does failure mean? If you paint a painting, you're not a failure. You made a painting, but I guess he wanted to have a career at it, and nobody was buying his paintings. And there's also some rumor, I don't know if this is true, that like, you know, some Jewish gallery owner told him he had no talent and that's why he took revenge on the Jews.
That's sort of weird, but yeah. Maybe.
But it's also
trotted, I mean, he's a lunatic. Who knows how what was going on in his head.
It's trotted out by failed artists, you know. I mean, it kind of is a threat. Like, you should support my art or I'll turn into Hitler. I've actually like heard people say that, but you know, when the market isn't supporting their art. But
this is the thing. Every one of these like weird ethical questions that people present, I'm always like, there's other creative ways that you could solve this problem without resorting to murder.
Like, you could go back and reprogram the Enigma machine to invent Bitcoin in 1944.
Yeah, and then Germany has a viable currency, and they don't have to worry so much about inflation. And they're part of the global economy without U.S. sanctions.
Yeah.
And yeah, absolutely. Bitcoin could have prevented World War II.
Yeah.
That's what we need to do. We need to figure out how to broadcast the blockchain backwards in time.
Well, you know, I'm really intrigued by all of the radio muckery that Germany and England and the UK did for propaganda during World War II. It was kind of mind blowing. And really, it kind of influenced like some of the ads I make and things on this show. And I'm not saying like I use Hitler as my playbook. No, it's but it's like, you know, they did things like broadcasting into the other territory, you know, illegally, like basically government pirate radio, you know, and saying things like, you know, telling the German soldiers that, you know, their woman is cheating on them with a Brit and they should go home and drop their rifle and go home to be with their wife and things like that. So we don't do that kind of propaganda, but I was really intrigued by all the,
I've seen that meme on Facebook. It said, my girlfriend's husband fought for your freedom.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a modern thing. It's an anti-soldier thing or an anti-war thing.
But it's the same. It's the same.
I saw that and I didn't make the connection. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same thing. But I mean, the other famous one is like six people are in a lifeboat and the boat can only support the weight of five people. These six people have these professions or whatever. They're specific and they're unique in these ways. Which one do you throw out of the boat?
Yes.
And the it's always presented, which one do you kill? And I'm always like, well, I mean, like, why can't one of them swim alongside the boat for one shift every day? Like, and just rotate. I mean, like,
yeah.
And eventually you'll all, you know, starve and you'll have lost enough weight. You can all get in the boat. I don't know. Like the thing with these ethical conundrums is that they don't promote creative thinking. They're all these like formulaic doomsday scenarios.
They also don't really take into account the butterfly effect. The, you know, what worse might have happened if Hitler
Who would have come to power if Hitler wasn't there to give riveting speeches?
Or, you know, if you'd killed Hitler as a baby, Stefan Molyneux would never have existed. Or because his mother was...
What?
Yeah, because his mother was Jewish and lived in Berlin and fled Berlin. And then she went somewhere and...
Oh, she never moved to French Canada and then he never met... Yeah, and then he never was born. I would have never
South
existed.
African father or whatever. Yeah. Or he would have been born in Germany. And the interesting thing is like his kind of thing might be illegal if he were doing it in Germany. Because they... I'm not going to call him a cult. I will call him a...
Oh, but Germany might.
A high demand group, which is the politically correct term. It's not necessarily a politically correct term for a cult. It's also a term for a group that has cult-like mannerisms, but doesn't necessarily fit in a group as a cult. It's a high demand group, but yeah, that stuff's outlawed in Germany. I also think he said he's going to sue anyone who ever calls him a cult. I don't think he will, because I don't think he wants to have a court decide whether or not he's a cult, which they'd have to in that case.
Considering Germany's history, they crack down on minority religions more than I ever thought they would.
Yeah, they do. Even atheist ones.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com. Freedom Fiends.
So if you went back and killed baby Hitler... Stefan Molyneux would not exist.
Wouldn't exist either.
But you wouldn't exist too, Davi. Tell us about that.
Well, my family, they were circus folk in Germany. That's where Barker comes from.
Of course they were.
And so, really? Yeah, Circus Barker. Yeah, that's where the name comes from. And they fled fascism, came to America. They were twins, and they used to juggle bowling balls. And then when they moved...
Your parents were twins?
No, these are my great-grandparents. My great-grandfather and his brother were bowling ball juggling guys in a circus. And when they moved to California, they were part of the construction crew to build Alcatraz, of all things. And my great-grandfather was the first person to swim from Alcatraz to shore. And it was while they were building it, he said, "This is a stupid idea for a prison. You could just swim." And they're like, "No, nobody could swim across this." And he did it on a $1 bet.
Did the mainstream media like hide that fact?
I don't know.
Yeah, which would have been the San Francisco Chronicle, probably.
Yeah. But yeah, so you know, if the Barker brothers didn't move to California, they never would have met the Hubbard family, and my gene pool never would have coalesced into me.
Are you related to L. Ron Hubbard?
No, I'm not.
Okay,
I am related to Clive Barker, though.
Is he a musician? Oh, he's a writer.
He's the Hellraiser guy.
Yeah, the writer. There's a or is he a writer or a director?
I think those things started as books and then he had a hand in it because they're so visually dependent, those stories. And I know there's been Clive Barker graphic novels and all kinds of stuff.
There's a Barker in the band Ministry.
Really?
Yeah.
It's interesting.
I think he's
also Bob Barker, but no relation. Yeah.
Bob Barker. I liked Bob Barker as a kid. I think Bob Barker is one of the reasons I'm holding a microphone right now, and I am holding it. I'm not. I usually do the show sitting in front of a mic stand in a chair, surrounded by computers and equipment. But I also like to freestyle. So once in a while, I'd like to go lie on the bed. I'm lying on my bed doing some late night radio, and you know, Bob Barker. Price is Right? Was that his show?
Yeah, Price is Right. My favorite 70s game show was Family Feud. That was my favorite.
Family Feud.
It was like direct democracy. That's what that was.
That one was kind of tough, too. Some of the questions were kind of tough.
Yeah, but I don't know. I thought it was fun because it was that there were no right answers. It was about guessing what 100 average people said.
Which is weird. I don't know any average people.
Yeah.
I think the guy that came knocking on my door trying to be the future government is an average person.
Maybe.
Yeah, yeah. That's the last average person I encountered.
And then I achieved my dream at Porkfest being on the Libertarian Family Feud game show that they had there, although we lost, but it was fun to play.
Which family were you on?
I was with Ernie and Angela Keaton from antiwar.com. That's Ernest Hancock from Declare Your Independence.
Wait, was she there this year?
No, this was a couple years ago. And I forget who else.
She's cool. It was.
There were four of us, I think. She's maybe cool. Maybe I MK like Lords was on the team. I'm not sure. That was the year I met Megan.
Yeah. I keep calling her MK. Like, I'm talking to her regularly now, and I keep calling her MK.
It's both.
Yeah.
It's both.
So if baby Hitler were killed, you would not be here.
Well, maybe. Fascism. Here's the thing. Like, Hitler is not an isolated incident either. If it weren't for World War I, if it weren't for Woodrow Wilson, then German fascism like wouldn't. There were still the cauldron of fascism was going on around Hitler. You know what I mean? And so, like, if Hitler didn't exist, someone else would have come to power.
That's the thing. And
family probably still would have fled whatever fascist that was.
And I wanted to talk for about a half hour on this, and I forgot to. And we've got about 2 minutes left, but. Basically, another problem with that lifeboat argument of, you know, would you kill baby Hitler or would you allow millions of people to be killed? Is if you killed baby Hitler, somebody else would have taken his place, because killing Hitler, solving the problems of the world, especially killing a baby, which is a ridiculous position to try to put someone in. It's the great man theory in reverse. It's the bad great man theory. You know, the great man theory is this theory that without Thomas Jefferson, we never would have had liberty. No, man, it's not one guy. It's a thing. And the same thing with evil. You know, if it weren't for Hitler, there would have anybody who was surrounding Hitler on a daily basis would have been the Hitler.
It's the great ebbs and tides of history. That's what it is.
Yep. And he was on the cover of Time as a man of the year at one point. Although that just means he's in the news the most. But who was given Bin Laden was given the keys to the city of Chicago or Detroit. I forget which one.
Really?
Yeah, he was a friend of America at one point.
History must flow. I think that's the point.
Yeah. And it doesn't repeat itself, but it does rhyme. And we'll be back tomorrow night.
Worms. There you go. Worms.
Thank you, Davy Barker. Bark, bark,
thank
bark,
you
bark,
for
bark,
your
bark,
service.
Bark, 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 bark.
Dean, 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 Dean.